You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
In the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, did I tell you to turn there? 1 Corinthians 12, which we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19 and even in Acts 8. And we talked about speaking with other tongues, as is mentioned there, as evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, how that's still around today. It's not, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, but if you are saved, then you can have that experience. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak with other tongues. Salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to believe in healing to be saved. You can believe in Jesus Christ and not believe in healing and still be saved. Amen. You don't even have to be all that nice to be saved. I wish you were. I wish you were nice. But come on now. But you need to know Jesus to be saved. And hopefully you'll listen to what he says and be a little nicer and quit being so mean. You mean old thing, you. But our salvation is based on something better than that, better than our goodness and our, are you with me? It's based on his goodness and what he did 2,000 years ago. And really, church, when you come to church, it's, you know, what the church is about is to draw you closer to God. It ought to move you toward him, move you toward holiness, toward perfecting and being better. I'm perfected spiritually in him, but I got to work on some other things. I got to work on my mind and my actions, and are you with my words? And I need church for that. I need the encouragement of the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ and the anointing of God, the word, the worship. It just does something to us. Church is a God thing. Amen? It's something God instituted, not man. Man has gotten involved and sometimes messed it up, but the idea of church is a God thing. God instituted it. Jesus said upon this rock, speaking to the church, I will build my church. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's a powerful force when we do it right. Amen? And if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. Doesn't mean you don't get convicted and, you know, and sometimes a hammer comes down. Sometimes you're in sin and you need to be convicted. Not condemned, but convicted. I want to be in a church that moves me to do better, moves me toward God, moves me to seek him out. Amen. Moves me toward holiness. Actually, the church is not about making you happy. It's about making you holy. You know, and yet, having said that, there's joy in church. There's joy and there's excitement in church. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And in his presence is fullness of joy, without question. So we know joy is part of the equation. Another thing that church should be about, gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't mean they're going to operate all the time. Doesn't mean they function every service. They're not to divide us. And although there are some churches that believe they passed away and some believe they're still here, personally, I think the Bible is very plain that they're still around and will be around until Jesus comes. Until he returns, we need the gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12, briefly let me read through here because it's been a couple weeks since we hit on this. And I actually ministered on the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, last time we taught on this on a Wednesday night. The first verse, 12th chapter, says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Wow. Seems to be a thing we're the most ignorant of when it comes to Christianity. When you talk about the gifts, a lot of Christians are ignorant of the gifts. But God doesn't want us to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. And, of course, he's talking to Gentiles, talking to Corinthians. This is a Gentile church. All the churches Paul wrote to were Gentile churches. They weren't Jewish converts. They were Gentiles that had gotten saved. And so it says here, he's talking to them. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you're easily led, then get this in your thinking. No one that curses Jesus is got the Spirit of God in them, okay? Don't follow someone that curses Jesus. Someone that does believe in Jesus and professes Jesus, that's a pretty good sign. If you can say Jesus is Lord, then that's the Holy Ghost, amen? So in following leaders, make sure your leaders are men and women of God. Amen? And he gives us a little qualification there. He said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a lot of different gifts. We're all gifted differently in a lot of ways, besides the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the 8th, 9th, 10th verse. We all got different personalities. We all different, you know, some are outgoing, some are not so outgoing. Some are funny, some are stoic. I mean, come on, we're all, do we look different? We all, but see, it's the same Spirit. Right. And he makes this case later on in this chapter about the body of Christ, that, you know, the hand can't say the eye, I have no need of you. Well, you don't look like me. You don't act like me. You don't sound like me. Well, thank God we're supposed to be different. If anything the Bible teaches, it doesn't teach sameness, it teaches difference. It teaches uniqueness. We're all unique. Uniquely gifted. Amen? But in one sense, I heard it said this way, we're all uniquely gifted, but we're deficient by design. God made us in such a way that we're not complete without each other. We complete each other when we get together. When the body of Christ comes together, there's something that's supplied there in your life that you don't have. But there's something that you supply that they don't have. And so when we get together, we hone each other. We sharpen each other. We make each other better. You know, being in this church has made me a better man. You have made me a better man. You've made me a better Christian. And so I hope I've made the same impact on you. Us together, we're growing together. But there are no lone rangers in this show. God didn't call any of us to serve him by themselves. Even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Kimo Sabe. You go get them, Tonto. Yeah, Tonto, okay. Anyway, so there are diversity of gifts, the same Spirit. There are diversities, differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Besides gifts, there's also pastoral ministry, and there's evangelist ministry, an apostle and prophet, and a teacher. These are all different ministries, but it's the same Lord. Amen? There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all, or operations. You know, everybody operates differently. I know some people preach different. How many of you know that? One person preaches one way, one preaches another. One just slings their arms, spits cotton. One stands still behind the pulpit, you know. And, you know, I do a little bit of both probably. Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. But, you know, I've got my personality, my gift, and the way I operate it, the way I convey it, the way I minister it is going to be unique because it's me. Hello. And some people get into that tone, that preacher's tone, and it's, you know, And that's, I don't have a problem with that. That's where they're, you know, if that's where they minister. Some people are just more preachy than teachy, and some people more animated than others. And, you know, we're not here to make fun of each other. Some people like that. Are you with me? I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I learned that a long time ago. I'm not everybody's cup of Starbucks. I have to change that. Don't go there, yeah. But you know what? I am. God has given me and connected me with some people where they really receive from me, and that's good. You need to be in church where you can receive. But just remember, we're all different, and God's got all kinds of people doing things different ways and different gifts. So there's different activities or operations, but the same God works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us to profit with all. I like that. It doesn't mean every one of us is going to flow into gifts, but it means when a gift is given, that every one of us profits from the gift. See, when it's manifested, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when someone gives a tongue and interpretation, or someone has a prophecy or a word, are you with me? Or a gift of healing takes place. I mean, if someone were down here in a wheelchair and a gift of healing hit me or a minister or somebody that was here and we touched them, they jumped out of that wheelchair and ran across this building, do you not think we would all profit from that? We would all be blessed from that. We'd all profit from the manifestation of a gift, whatever that gift is. And when someone's encouraged, even though it may be a personal word of encouragement, when God pins someone, calls them out and encourages them in their life, you know, all of us benefit from that. Any good that happens in a service, I think we all get benefit from. I don't think anybody comes down here and gets saved. That touches every person in the building. Are you kidding me? There's not a dry eye in the place. When someone gets right with God, or someone turns their life over to the Lord for the first time, as it were, or someone gets filled with the Holy Ghost, or somebody testifies of something happened in their life. We all benefit from that. Are you with me? So these gifts, although, you know, you may not personally be used in one of them, or that's not the point he's making. The point is we need them because we all benefit from a gift when it moves. It's why, you know, I'm not a pastor. I don't need, you know. Well, actually, you don't ever know when you might need a gift, even if you're not a pastor. But that's beside the point. The point is we need to pray that the Holy Spirit has free reign in a service, in a church, and moves, because everyone profits when a gift is manifested. Right. Y'all see that? And then he says, he lists these 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. Three verses. He lists 9 gifts. This is where we get the idea of 9 gifts of the Spirit. And they're not in any certain order. I categorize them because it's easy to remember this way and teach them along these lines. But there's no category here. He just lists 9 gifts. And it starts in the 8th verse. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom." Everybody say one.
One.
Now, not to everybody, but to one. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Same Spirit, but different person now. Are you seeing this? This is the point he's making. That it's just because the gift's different doesn't mean the Spirit's different. Yeah. It's still the Spirit. Just because you don't move in the same gift another person moves in, or you may not move at all in one of the gifts. It doesn't matter. It's still the Spirit. We still all benefit from it. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Well, I tell you what I want in my church. I want this gift. Well, really, we need all. I'll tell you the best gift is one that's needed at the time. You know, and so you can't put one gift above another, because when the best gift is the one that's needed right then. It may be working of miracles. It may be gifts of healings. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a word of knowledge. It may be a gift of discerning spirits. You know, you don't know. Whatever the need is, we want that gift free to operate. We want to, you know, be anticipating, expecting God to move whenever the need is there. Amen? And recognize it as the Spirit of God. Amen? Even though it may be different. Hallelujah. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." And as we went over and taught this, I know if you're just getting in on this, we've done a lot of teaching on this already. But the word of knowledge is when something's revealed in the present tense or past tense that you didn't know any other way. The Spirit of God just revealed something to you, you know. And it's many cases through the Old Testament and knew where that took place. I remember when Saul the king came to the prophet Samuel, he wanted to know about where his mules were that his father had lost. And he walked right up to Sam before he said anything. Samuel told him, he says, "Your mules have been found." I mean, he knew that by the Spirit. And then he began to flow in the word of wisdom and tell him, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to do this, and you're going to go to this place. And when you get there, you're going to prophesy. You're going to fall amongst some prophets, and you're going to prophesy." And as the story goes on, it's exactly what happened the next day or two. So the word of knowledge took place, revealing what had happened to the mules. Just trying to make a connection between people and mules. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. But then the word of wisdom took place concerning the future. And when predictions take place, what we call prophecy in general, those are really words of wisdom where God reveals the future, His plan, His purpose. You know, a lot of that is through the Old Testament and New Testament. So those are what we call revelation gifts. You might say it that way. They reveal something. They reveal, the word of knowledge reveals the present and the past. The word of wisdom reveals the future and the purpose of God, the mind of God. Wisdom has to do with action, doing something, taking what you know and going and doing it. A wise man heard Jesus' sayings and did them. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So it's more than just hearing, it's more than just knowledge. They all both had knowledge, foolish man and the wise man, but the wise man did something with it. He acted on it. So wisdom is acting on knowledge, it's future. It's doing, it's instruction. Most all the time, you know, when the word of wisdom involved, instruction is involved. God tells you what to do. He tells you something He wants you to do. Are you with me? So that's the word of wisdom. So he says word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then to another, faith by the same Spirit. That's not just faith that we all have. I mean, we all have faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 says God is we all having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." We also believe and therefore speak. Now, Paul's saying there very plainly in those two verses that we all have faith. Yes. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We all have the same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, Bible faith, is real plain. It's written, it's believed, it's spoken. That's what faith is. Faith speaks. And we've all got the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's not this gift. This is only to one, severally. This is a supernatural gift that comes and goes. It doesn't just abide and stay on the person. It comes and it leaves, just like the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. God reveals something, then it's gone. It's just a word of knowledge. You get it? Not supernatural knowledge all the time, but just a word of knowledge. God revealed something supernaturally to a prophet about someone, or Jesus, or Paul or Peter or maybe you might supernaturally reveal something to you you didn't know any other way. Are you with me? And then wisdom would be a word of wisdom. It doesn't say all wisdom. You're not just carrying it around anytime you want to. You can't turn it off and on like a switch. It's as the Spirit wills. Okay. So faith is like that. This faith that he's talking about here, I don't want to get into too much detail. We're going to teach on that later. But this faith, it just comes on you and it leaves. You know how sometimes you have to work up your faith and sometimes you have to get in the Word and get the promises and build your faith and actively stand on the Word. But this is a gift that just comes on you, bam, it's on you, and you can believe anything. Yeah. And then it leaves you. It's just a gift of faith. Supernatural, it can just come on. I've seen it on people. I've seen it come on people to do supernatural things. In the Bible, they did supernatural things. And the gift of faith would just come on them. And then it would leave, and they would just be like they were. Elijah would come on Elijah. I mean, he slew, 450 prophets of Baal? And then he outran a chariot. Remember that? Elijah did that. I mean, that had to be a gift of faith on him. And I know that because as soon as he got back, Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." And he ran, hid behind a rock. So where was his faith then? It came on him and left. It was like a supernatural thing for a supernatural job. Probably happened to Daniel when he was in the lion's den. I don't know that for a fact, but it probably did. I mean, you normally would be a little rattled if they threw you in a lion's den. Daniel just went in there and prayed, came out fine. You know? But it's a supernatural thing. It's not something we all have and that we can all build, because we can build our faith. Yeah. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So you can build your faith by getting in the Word of God, but that's not this. That's not this faith. You can't aspire to any of these gifts and make them come. They only come as the Spirit wills. They don't come as you will. They come as the Spirit wills. Right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And then he says, which is the gift I want to get into, and I got about 25 minutes to hit it running. Because I'm going to get you out about 8:30. He goes on and says this, "To another faith, but the same Spirit," "to another gifts of healings," gifts, plural, "of healings," plural, "but the same Spirit, working of miracles," plural, "to another prophecy," "another discerning of spirits." Everybody say discerning of spirits. I'd like to talk about discerning of spirits. Why? Because I want to categorize these so we can remember them easier. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. These are gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge reveals the past or the present. Word of wisdom reveals the future. Discerning of spirits reveals spirits. It reveals the spirit world. I mean, when they had visions and they saw spirits, and the book of Revelation where John saw demons coming out of a pit and he saw angels in heaven. I mean, he saw into the spirit. He saw spirits. And then, of course, where Paul knew this woman had a spirit of divination in Acts 16th chapter, that was a discerning of spirits. Now, it's not the gift of discernment. A lot of people think, "Well, I got the gift of discernment." No, you just got a gift of criticism. You need to repent of that, because that's not what this is. This is specific. It says discerning of spirits. It didn't say discernment. Hello. It's not the gift of judgment. You know, a lot of times we think that. Or gift of suspicion. You need the Holy Ghost to be suspicious or critical or judgmental. You know, you don't need that at all. I mean, come on. In fact, we have to work on that and pray that God gives us, you know, wisdom and love and quit being so critical and all those kinds of things. Well, I don't know. I just don't feel right about that guy. Well, that's not the gift of discerning of spirits. I can tell you that right now. You may not feel right about him, and maybe God's trying to show you something. But if it was a gift and he showed you something bad about a person, that would be the gift of word of knowledge. Right? Where he showed you something about a person. This is about the discerning of spirits. Not the motive of a spirit, the motive of a man's spirit or a woman's spirit. So I think we've got that twisted, because that's not what happened. We see cases where God revealed things about a person to people in the Bible, but that would be the word of knowledge, where he showed them something about that person. Remember in Acts the 5th chapter, where Ananias and Sapphira came? The church had all things in common. There was a drought coming on Jerusalem. and they had begun to sell their lands and properties and have all things in common. They only did that one time. The church wasn't a socialist state. But in Jerusalem, there was drought coming on Jerusalem, very serious drought. Agabus the prophet even prophesied that it would come. It's in the book of Acts. It tells you that. Paul went up and took offerings around these churches to help the saints at Jerusalem because they had such a tough time. And they weren't forced to sell their places or homes or lands. They willingly did it, and they could have kept the money, half the money, kept the house, not sold the house if they wanted to. They didn't have to do it. But Ananias and Sapphira in the fifth chapter of Acts came acting like they had sold their house and land, and this was all the money, and they were donating it to the church at Jerusalem. And Peter was standing there, and Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he saw, and it was a word of knowledge is what it was. It wasn't a gift of discerning spirits. He said, you have sold your property. And he said, but you kept back some of the money. And you have not lied to us, but to the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember the case where it took place? And he said, when the property was yours, was it not yours to do with what you wanted to? And once you sold it, was it still not yours to do what you wanted to with? Why did you choose to lie to the Holy Ghost? They could have said, hey, we sold property, here's half the money. It was their money, do what they want to, but they lied. They came and they said, oh, this is all the money, you know. So it wasn't that God was making them give all that. They had free will, they had choice, they didn't have to give any of it, they didn't want to, or give part of it, or all of it, or whatever, but they lied. Now, to know that was a word of knowledge, where he knew that. I don't believe that was a discerning of spirits. That doesn't really fall in that category. He knew something he didn't know any other way, word of knowledge. God told him, here's what happened. They went and sold that place. That's knowledge. They kept part of the money. They came and told you that they gave you all the money. That wasn't discerning spirits. That was a word of knowledge. Y'all catch that? That's where it falls in the category. And you say, well, I don't believe. I think that's discerning spirit. You can still believe that if you want to and go to heaven. You can actually disagree with me and still go to heaven. I just want you to know that. I just think it makes more sense that it was word of knowledge than against certain spirits. I wouldn't argue with somebody over the case because it doesn't really have anything to do with salvation, but it's an interesting observation. If you define the word of knowledge as revealing knowledge past or present, then that would fall in that category. And discerning of spirits means the understanding or seeing of spirits, good or bad, demons, devils, or angels, and visions would always fall in that category. Or if somebody were casting the devil out, they knew someone had a certain spirit on them. Not that you even have to have that. You can cast the devil out without having the gift of discerning spirits. Sometimes they can manifest and you know they're possessed. You don't have to have. Sometimes they can talk in, you know, a weird language. You can pin it. If they're riding on the floor like a snake talking in some wild language, they're probably possessed. Are you with me? Most likely, that's the case. I've seen that happen. And their heads start spinning around their shoulders. You got one right there. I mean, nothing really to be afraid of, though. We're Christians. We're believers. In the name of Jesus, you can cast them out. That's what the Scripture says to do. Don't you believe Hollywood. Don't believe the hype. The real power is in our hands as Christians, as believers, not in the devil's hands. And demons don't have power over Christians. They can't overpower Christians. When they overpowered those, in Acts, the 16th chapter, where they overpowered those sons of Sceva. Sceva was a vagabond Jew, the Bible says. And these sons of Sceva, they went in and they, Acts 19, excuse me, was it 19? 19 chapter. Was it 19 chapter? Paul wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. 19 chapter. Ephesus is where it was, yeah. In Ephesus, in Acts, the 19th chapter, where they try to cast the devil out and that demon overcame them. It says, we adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And the devil said, well, Paul we know and Jesus we know. But who are you? They weren't Christians. They weren't believers. They were just Jews trying to use the authority of the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. And it says the demon overcame them and they ran out naked and so on and so forth. So I always like, you know, when I read that, I always say this. I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are Jews? He didn't know them Jews. Nothing wrong with Jews. I'm just saying, who are Jew? Now I've got a Spanish accent. I apologize, Mari. It's not a good one either. Who are Jew? Who are Jew? See, you're with me. You understand that, don't you? Okay. But the problem was not that the devil had power over Christians. They were not Christians. They were Jews trying to do what Christians did. What they had no authority to do because they hadn't accepted Jesus. If you accept Jesus, you have the name of Jesus and the right and authority to use the name. And you don't have to fear the devil. Amen? All right. So the gift of discerning of spirits is just what it says. Specifically, it's spirits. Just the discernment of spirit. Not discernment, not judgment, not reading people's motives, looking into people's hearts. That's not what that is. It's the discerning of spirits, good or bad. And every time I believe a vision took place where eyes were opened and people saw in the spirit, that would be that gift in operation because they saw into the spirit. And they saw many times the spirit behind things, the evil spirit behind things. You see that in the prophecies of Revelation and even in the Old Testament. They'd see the evil spirit behind things that were happening. And they would see the good spirits, the good angels that were actually backing God's people also, Gabriel and Michael and different ones. And so that's a gift that's specific in that respect to spirits, but general in the sense that it's not just evil spirits, it's not just good spirits, it's just spirits in general. Acts 16, just turn there. We'll look at an instance. Just helping anybody?
Yes.
And study this out. Don't be convinced just because what I say. I mean, the Bible's not in detail on everything, but I believe there's enough information where you can put the pieces together and solve the puzzle. If you're willing to do a little detective work, if you're willing to go look in other books and look at other instances. You know, I always try to back up statements that I make with scriptures. You know, and Scripture should explain Scripture. So if we're going to say this gift of word of wisdom is real, then where was it in the Bible? Where can you say this happened in the Bible? I believe you can go back and find a lot of places in the Bible where people saw the future, God revealed the future. Word of knowledge, same way. Gift of discerning of spirits, you're not going to find a lot of places in the Bible where God just showed people that somebody was not right or was right or they just discerned. You know, he's not a good person. He's not. That didn't even have anything to do with it. But you do find a lot of places in the Bible where people saw into the Spirit, and sometimes God would reveal a spirit was in someone. Someone was possessed with a spirit. And for that reason, that would be a good one to operate dealing with people that are demon possessed, wouldn't it? You know, because everything that happened, take this for instance. In the Bible, in most cases, when healings took place, they just laid hands on them and Jesus pronounced healing, even in the New Testament. In fact, that's what it says to do. But we do have occasions where Jesus rebuked a deaf spirit, a dumb spirit. But not every case. Are you with me? Some cases he just prayed for them. Some cases he put mud on their eyes and said, see. Some cases he rebuked a spirit. So you have this gift would separate that. I mean, if this gift operated and moved in your life and revealed to you someone had the sickness was a demon or the sickness was a spirit of something, then you could go right in there and cast that thing out. If not, if nothing's revealed, you know what you can do? In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you with me? No casting devils out. But now there might be a case where there's a devil involved. I don't always know that. Unless there's a manifestation, unless they just talk in a weird voice and writhe on the floor like a snake, hello. Then you know you got a problem. But in most cases, that's not the case. In most cases, it's a sickness, it's a disease, and we got a lot of scripture on praying for one another to be healed. And are you with me? Is any sick among you? James 5:14. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. That's a normal course of events. That's what happens when people are healed. But now there are occasions we see them in the Bible, in the Scripture, where there was someone who had a deaf spirit, dumb spirit, blind spirit. You know, not every crazy person is possessed. Sometimes they're low on lithium. I didn't mean that as a joke. That just really is the case. Sometimes it's just chemical. Sometimes there's, you know, but hey, there are cases where there are demon-possessed. The demonic Gadarenes, we know is that way. You know, adultery, There's a woman caught in a very act of adultery in John 8 chapter, and they threw her down in front of Jesus and said, the law says, stoner, what do you say? And he said, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. And they walked out from the oldest to the youngest, and he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, I don't have any. And he said, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. Didn't cast the devil out of her. Mary Magdalene, on the other side of this coin, Mary Magdalene cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene. So just because someone's committing adultery doesn't mean they have a spirit. I just want to clear that up. You know, because really, we find the devil behind every bush. Somebody bites their fingernails, we got a fingernail biting demon. Well, come on, we'll cast that thing out of you. Well, maybe they just need to quit biting their fingernails. Come on. I mean, unless God reveals something to you, I mean, unless it's a see, that's where the gift of discerning spirits would come into play in that respect, reveal to you a spirit. If that's not the case, then we do what we know to do. We lay hands on the sick, we pray one for another, we may be healed. We stand on a word, by stripes we're healed, and so on and so forth. Okay. Acts 16, y'all found it? Here's a case, fascinating, 16th verse. Y'all learn anything?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing else gets you thinking, you know. I want to be balanced. How about you? I don't want to be just weird. I mean, I am weird, I know. But I don't want to be just radically weird. I just want to be normal weird, if that's the case. I don't mean mind being weird for Jesus. But I think sometimes a lot of the persecution we get, we bring on ourselves unnecessarily. Because we're so weird. Oh, God. It's a truth gone wild. You know, it's a truth, but it's just gone wild. We just went too far with the truth. Let's keep it balanced. Healing is real. Miracles are real. Are you with me? Gifts of the Spirit are real. There's degrees of fanaticism on gifts of the Spirit. There's degrees, you know, of wildness and weirdness, I guess you'd say. But let's keep it balanced with the Word. See, the Spirit and the Word agree. So whatever the Holy Ghost is doing, whatever the gifts of the Spirit are, and whatever visions, dreams we have, whatever prophecies and you know, words of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirit, whatever happens is always going to be judged by the Word. We're going to have to balance everything out with the Word. Amen?
Yes.
Now, we don't want to just have the Word and no moving of the Spirit, because then it's just dry. If all you have is the Word, you'll dry up. But I'd submit to you, if you don't have the Word and you have no teaching and you have no gauge, no governor on this thing, and all you have is just feeling, just emotion, just the Holy Ghost, we'll say, then you'll blow up. And there are churches that just have a blow-up service every service. There are churches that have a dry-up service every service. But we need the dynamic of the Spirit and the direction of the Word. Because the direction of the Word helps us know how to use the dynamic of the Spirit, see? And if you have the dynamic of the Spirit and the direction of the Word, we'll grow up, not blow up, not dry up. Amen? I want it. I need it. Yeah, we need the emotion. Let me tell you something. We need the emotion. We need the feeling. We do. We absolutely do. We are made in such a way where we need that touch. We need that feeling. But we need the Word to gauge that.
Right. That's right.
To gauge what is God and what is not God. Where we've gone too far and we hadn't gone far enough or whatever the case may be. So if we say, well, you know, we're not having all that stuff. We're not going to have that in my, I'm not going to have that in my life. I'm not going to have that in my church. No, sir, I'm not going to have that. I'm staying away from all that stuff. The Bible says let everything be done decently in order. Well, yeah, it didn't say don't do anything. It said let it be done. I think in most churches they've just solved it and said we're not going to let anything be done. And so they're not going to have any of it. They're just not going to have it, period. And I'm not hateful. I don't mean that. There's great churches that I highly respect. They're pastors and people, and they firmly believe what they believe, and they're sincere. But when the Bible says, let everything be done decently in order, He wants it to be done. He just wants it to be done decently and in order. And that's why we have instruction. That's why we have the Word to guide us. Okay? To guide if we're doing this thing right. I think the main, it's been said, one of the books I read years ago, that the main job of the Holy Ghost is not that you'd speak in tongues, although that is a product of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. No more than the main job of the coal engine on the old coal engine, steam engine, coal engine trains The main job was not to blow the whistle, although that was a product of it, you know. The main job of those engines was to get them down the track. And so the main job of the Holy Ghost, of course, is not speak in tongues, but to get you down the track. And you do speak in tongues down the track. I understand that. Hello. Are you out there?
Yes.
So, man, I speak in tongues all the time. I believe in it strongly. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, but there's a time and a place. And I think most of our private prayer language is just that. It's private prayer. And if we do it in the church, we need an interpretation of the tongues. That's proper and that's decent. If someone has a tongue, let's give the interpretation. Amen?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
that's the way it should be. Hallelujah. But listen, by all means, let's get on down the track. That's what the Holy Ghost is on us for, is to get us on down the track faster, move us faster down the track. See, we have the Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the main job of the Spirit, is to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. Acts 16. Did I tell you to turn there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I got 7 minutes. Okay. Acts 16. All right. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Here's Paul, and he'd gone to Philippi, Macedonia, and the city of Philippi is where he'd gone. And the 16th verse says, now it happened as we went to prayer, that is, now this is probably Luke with him. You notice he says we, plural, we. Notice these little things. Acts was written by Luke. We know that from the very first chapter. And all throughout here it says they went here and they went this, they did this. And now he says we. We. Well, there's a transition. Luke was actually on this trip. He was with him. And he says, we, 16th verse, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Now, how did they know that? That's interesting. How could he even write that down? They knew that by the Holy Ghost. It had to be a gift of discerning spirits to even know that. So it says here, slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. You know, it's amazing some of the things that go on in fortune telling venues. I don't go there. I don't get my palm read, and I don't call up psychic hotline. I don't know why they have to ask your name if you call anyway. They should already know it, shouldn't they? But anyway, it's amazing how sometimes they can read your mail. Like there's a spirit involved. I do believe there's demonic spirits involved in a lot of this mystical things that we talk about. Some people talk about past lives. You know, I think I lived a past life. You know, and they start giving details of this person's life. And, you know, they go and study and get history books out and find out that's exactly what that person did. Well, that's just a demon talking to him is what it is. A spirit, a familiar spirit explaining those. See, we ought to seek God. Not you Ouija boards. And there is supernatural power out there that's demonic. There is demonic power out there that you need to stay away from. We need to stay away from it. Even in the Old Testament, did you know those sorcerers under Pharaoh duplicated what Moses did, several things that Moses did. They threw their rods down, they turned into snakes, just like Moses did. Only difference was Moses' snake ate their snakes up. But they duplicated some of the things he did. So that's not to say there's not demon power out there. And it's not to say you should be afraid of it either. It's just saying you don't need to mess with it. You stay away from that. You know, when I was a kid, we used to do the Ouija boards and all that stuff. I mean, it's before I knew God. I didn't know any better. You know, every time I did that, I was going to die at 55. Well, thank God that's a lie. I'm 56. But I didn't live in fear of dying at 55 after I got saved, because I realized that's all a lie, you know. But it seemed like every time we'd ask that question, every time, it didn't matter who we were with or where we were when I was a kid, that thing would go right over. You know how they do that. Right over 55. Same number every single time. Now, you know the devil takes something like that and wear on you. I just laughed at it when I got saved and found out the power I had in Christ Jesus. And in fact, I think when I turned 56, I had told that story before, and I didn't even remember it. Jennifer calls me up and says, well, that Ouija board lied, didn't it, Dad? And I thought, Jennifer's, you know, my daughter, Jennifer. And I said, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. I guess so. It was a lie. So. Hallelujah. Okay, so they knew it was a spirit of divination. And this girl followed Paul, the 17th verse, followed Paul and us, plural, there's Luke, and cried out, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, man, what is wrong with that? I mean, come on. You know what demons would cry out in the synagogue when Jesus would preach? We know who you are, the Holy One of God. Yeah. Wasn't anything wrong with what they said. But God doesn't need the devil advertising for him, I can tell you that. Well, this went on, obviously, for a few days, because it says here, 18th verse, this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I'm sure he was. You know, it's one thing, say amen, say hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. I'm all for that. I got no problem with that. I think I want to have life in church. I guess it'd be obnoxious if every time I said a sentence, I go, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't hang up now. Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother. I mean, if you did it every single sentence, it would get annoying, wouldn't it? And yet, we want hallelujahs and we want amens. But I guess it could get to a point where it'd take away from the message and draw away from the message, wouldn't it? Nobody's going to say amen now. It's okay. You can say amen. Amen? Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you could take anything and be obnoxious with it, annoying with it, something that sounds real religious even. And I think that's what was going on here. See, it was a religious spirit that was distracting from the message, annoying him and everybody around. You know, so, but you know what? He waited till he was grieved by the Spirit. He waited till the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And it says, this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman. No, he wasn't talking to the woman. He recognized this was a discerning spirit. There was a demon. There was a spirit on this woman. And he recognized, and I believe he just recognized it. I don't think he let that went on that many days knowing what it was. I think when he was grieved in his spirit, he realized what it was. This is a demon. And he turned right around and said to the Spirit, not the woman. It wasn't her fault. She was possessed. Y'all catching this? He said to the Spirit. Man, I love that. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. She was a victim here, see? And he came out of her that very hour. Right then. Woo! Man, I love it. I love it. But see, something dropped in Paul, or on Paul. The gift of discerning spirits. He knew what it was. He was annoyed for days. It bothered him. I'm sure he'd been praying about it. But all of a sudden, a revelation came. That was a demon. And he turned right around and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. And she came. She was delivered. And her masters weren't too happy. They were none too happy because they had made a lot of money with her soothsaying and her fortune telling, and she didn't have that demon on her anymore. Wow. That's amazing. But there's a gift and operation there that you can see very plainly, a discerning of spirits. You know, and not all discerning of spirit, gifts of discerning of spirits is about evil spirits, because we have visions that John had, the whole book of Revelation. He's naming off demons. He's naming off angels, good angels, messengers, and living creatures. And so it could be good or bad. But it's sure not discernment. It's not suspicion. It's not criticism. I think it's pretty neat when you think about dealing with people that have a lot of needs. That I want to be open for that in case that something that I'm dealing with is not just laying hands on the sick. Are you with me? If I don't hear anything and I don't get a gift and operation, I'm going to lay hands on a person, believe for healing. We should do that. Amen. But then it could be that case, and there might be that time where it's demonic. It's demonically inspired. And I could go tell you story after story, but it's 8:30, and I'm going to honor that.